The reading is from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31 and continuing to the end of chapter at verse 39 on page 1135 in the Church Bible. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Bridget, and thank you, Sarah, for praying for us. As a number of you know, I'm a bit of a rugby fan, and I support a team who have been one of the most successful teams in the professional area in English history. They've been champions of Europe twice, and on six occasions they've won the Premiership, which in rugby terms is massive because neither competition has been around for very long. So I support them with great pride. And then this week, they ceased to exist. They were taken into administration, all the players were paid off and made redundant. To all intents and purposes, the team I support doesn't exist anymore. And it reminded me as I was preparing this sermon that every winner ends up a loser. Isn't that a thought? Every boxing world champion gives up his belts. Every sprinting world record holder finds that someone beats their world record unless they got their world record in the 80s and were East German, in which case nobody's defeating that because they were drugged up to the eyeballs. Every winner ends up a loser. A happy start, isn't it? But I want you to know that what you're going to hear today is that if you feel like a loser, you have an opportunity to be the greatest winner ever, to be the winner of all winners. And that is really important because a number of us will feel like losers either at times in our life or all the way through our life. I know that there have been crucial moments when I felt like a massive loser, when I was bullied at school, but also later on as I've got older and the dreams I thought I would, things I thought I would achieve, I've not achieved, and you're left feeling like a loser. But worse than that, the fear about losing, the fear about the future, which is really what that is, I think, the fundamental cause of nearly all our stress and anxiety. At its heart, the fear of the future is that in the future we will lose. We won't win, and we won't survive. We fear that we will fail, and that drives us to work harder until we basically can't cope anymore, and then we fail anyway. We fear about being alone. We fear about, in other words, not being, the hard thing about feeling like you're alone is you feel like you've failed as a person because you can't even attract people who will be close to you. The fear about not being enough, that we will turn out to be a loser in life. And there is a really important sense in which it is true. We will all ultimately lose at life because we can't cling on to it. We will all ultimately fail to keep alive. We will lose the greatest battle of all because death will defeat us. great start, isn't it? I've really gripped you. I'm like, oh, this is a feel-good sermon. Well, listen to this verse. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're going to hear today that however much of a loser you feel you are, when you turn to the Lord, you become more than a conqueror. We're also going to hear that if you think you're a winner, be careful. It may turn out that the winning you prize will turn out to be losing. I was really struck by this phrase. How can you be more than a conqueror? Have you been struck by that phrase? And I looked at the Greek. I thought, well, maybe I'm just totally wrong. Maybe it's a weird translation. No, it really does mean that. It means super conqueror. It means that you're better than a conqueror. But how can you be better than a conqueror? Because a conqueror is the person who's won at the end of the day. The conqueror was Georgina in the Thumb Wars fight. Well, I was thinking about, well, think about maybe in the whole of human history, the individual that you think has won at life, except from Jesus, that's, we have to take him out of the equation. Think, who's really won? Who would you say has been the world record holder at being human? It might be that they lived a very, very long time. It might be that they earned a very large amount of money, although probably we don't think that. It might be that they were esteemed by others. It might be that they had a great family. It might be that they found contentment. It might have been that they were great and beautiful. It might have been that they accomplished amazing things. It might have been that they were gifted in amazing ways. Or it might be that they had a great impact. Just who would it be? Well, what Paul is saying to you today, what God is saying to you today, is that if you are a believer in Jesus, you are more than them. You are more than that conqueror. You will win in a far greater way. Why is that? Well, because in the context of our passage, if you are a believer, it says, God is for you. He is for you. In other words, he is directed towards your welfare and your blessing, because he has set his love on you. And that's why Jesus, I think, was so attractive to losers in his day, the prostitutes, the outcasts, the tax collectors, the thieves, the beggars, the blind. Because they knew they were losers, they were open to where true success in life was to be found. And it's why I'm proud to say that I am a loser as a vicar, and I lead a church of losers. Because we have found the way to final victory. And it's also why this life's winners are in such danger. They are enticed by the sparkle of victories that will lose, that will fade, that will die. And they miss out on the victory that endures forever. So let's dive into our passage and see where we get this all from. And we're going to look at the three questions that Paul asks, and see how their answers, which point us to the cross, will make us realise that we can be confident that we will be more than conquerors. So let's look at the first question. There it is, in verse 31. What then should we say in response to these things? That's not the question. This is the question we're going to look at. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the answer to that question is obvious. Right, the answer to say, you know, if God is for you, who could be against you? Well, the answer to that is obvious. No created thing can stand up against the Creator. Anything that tries to fight God is going to lose. If you put God into a Marvel movie, it would be the very worst Marvel movie there has ever been. Because in the opening credits, Thanos with his weird Julie things would stand up and God would just obliterate him. He would decreate him, if nothing else. And then the end credits would run, and there wouldn't even be the extra bit at the end, because there would be no sequels. So it's obvious that if God is for something or someone, nothing can be against that thing or that person. But that then leads to the real question, which Paul is actually dealing with, is since we know that is true, the question is this: is God for you? And how much is he for you? How would you answer that question? If I asked you right now, is God for you? What would your answer be? And how much is he for you? How much is the... It's a crazy question. How much does the creator of the world for you, this little gnat, on this insignificant planet? And how would you know how much he is for you? Well, we read it here. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's the measure of how much God is for you. If you're in any doubt as to how much God is for you, look at the cross. See his son hanging there. And know that that is the measure of how extravagantly God loves you. And so as a result, Paul says, well, what's the conclusion of that? Well, then he's not going to stop at blessing you. He's not going to stop at seeking good things for you. He is for you. This is really important to hear for some of us here. Some of us have wondered, is there anyone who's for me? Is there anyone who cares? Well, know this, the Creator is for you. And if you're in any doubt, look to the cross. Look to the cross and look how extravagantly God loves you. How extravagantly, how he won't stop at anything. He will pour out his blessings on you. He is for you. The second question is verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? This is really getting to the heart of the question. Can I blow it with God? Can I mess up so badly that somehow God is no longer for me? Now, I know that God is for me, that he gave his son for me, but I've messed up again. Or maybe you're not a Christian. You're thinking, what I've done, David, you don't understand. It's so awful. There's no way that God could be for me. Because I know other people would stand up before God and say, oh, don't you know what David's really like? I know that I would be forced to tell God what I'm really like. And then he's not going to be for me, David. He's not going to be for me when he's seen what I've done. And it's a real concern. In the Old Testament, which is the bit of the Bible we spoke about God and his people before Jesus came. God's people were the Israelites. And God had made promises that he would protect them. And one of their enemies, the Midianites, tried to see whether that was true, and they tried to harm Israel. They got some bloke called Balaam to try and curse Israel. But it wasn't going to work, because they discovered that when they had God on their side, no one could touch the Israelites. So then Balaam encouraged them to do something really clever, really sneaky, and really evil. He knew that he couldn't in any way harm God's people for as long as they were close to God. So he tempted them and enticed them into worshipping other gods, of stepping away under God's, away from God's protection. And then anyone could get them. So are we in that danger? Are we in that danger of going away from the Lord and therefore no longer being under his protection? But no, look at this. It says, who then is he, the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. There is nothing that we have done wrong or will do wrong that could separate the one who looks to the Lord Jesus from being in God's presence. So what's going on here? Well, it is that, you know, every moment and every day, Jesus is standing at the throne of his Father in heaven, and he is praying for you. Right? You know, sometimes we ask other people to pray for us. Will you pray for me? Sometimes I feel like saying, yeah, I'll pray for you. But to be honest, that's not that big a deal. Let me tell you the really good news, that Jesus is praying for you. But here, Paul's point is that Jesus' prayer is very specific. It is praying that the Father will accept you. You think, well, how can that be when all the stuff I've done wrong? There's no way that the Father will be for me in light of that. Well, as Jesus speaks to the Father, as these other voices crowd in and say, don't listen to David, you need to reject him. Do you know what he's done wrong? Jesus says to his Father, look at what I've done for David. Look at what I've done for you. He has paid for everything we've done wrong. So even our own sin, our own rottenness, cannot separate us from God being for us. Isn't that an amazing thought? So when you hear Satan's accusation that you cannot approach God, when you hear your own voice telling you you're not good enough, when you fear someone else might discover it when they found your browsing history or whatever it is, know this: God is for you because he has forgiven you. So if we've seen in the first question, that is how extravagantly God loves us. In the second one, this is how we discover how mercifully. There is no limit to his mercy. It cannot be exhausted because Jesus' wounds have paid for it all. And then the final question, therefore, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or at the end, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's, if you like, what arises out of the other two. And the message here is that you and I may face some awful futures. This isn't some, our mighty meditation in all these things, we are more than conquerors, is not some unrealistic promise of a life of ease and bliss and constant easy victories. But it is this. It's the promise that in all of the defeats and struggles, the final word will always be victory for the brother or sister of Jesus. Because at the end of it all, even death, God's love continues to hold you. And to make this point, Paul does two things. First, he makes a long list of hardships. Read them with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, we often run through these quickly. Let's go slowly. Shall trouble or hardship, that means not having enough, not having a roof over your heads, not having food to eat, or persecution, that means people actively trying to hurt you, or famine, well, that's obvious, isn't it? An empty stomach, malnutrition, shall nakedness, these are things we never face here in this country, or danger, we might face that, or sword, we're unlikely to face being under an occupying military force. So he comes up with some horrible situations where we look like losers. And then it says, but you will end up being victorious. And that's in two ways. One is nothing can separate you from God's love. So at the end of it all, after all those things happened, you are held by God's love. And those other things will fade and die and history will forget them, but you will be held. But the other thing is that even those bad rubbish itself, God will use for your good. That's what earlier it says. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Do you know, God is the expert in turning your rubbish into good for you. Into turning your defeats into victories for you. That's what happens on the cross. Jesus dies on the cross, but it turns out into the resurrection. And in fact, his death on the cross is not a defeat, but how God achieves his good purposes. Joseph ends up being sold to slavery by his brothers. But God uses it for Joseph's good, but also then to bless his brothers who are a bunch of horrible toe rags. I haven't used toe rags. I don't think I've ever used toe rags. That's a sign of my age, isn't it? He is the expert. The defeat you are facing now, God will turn to your victory. Not only that there will be a victory after, but that he will actually, you will see eventually that it was the defeat itself that was turned into a victory. That is what he does. He is amazing. But the other thing he says is he then comes out with a series of extremes. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither, here's the first extreme. Imagine these as sort of the limits of our universe. One is life and death. There's nothing else in our universe. Neither angels nor demons, there's nothing else in the spiritual world. Neither the present nor the future nor any powers. That means anything which controlled the past, the present or the future. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. However frightening the future looks, however frightening the powers arrayed against you seem, however weak you feel, there is one far stronger who is on your side. I've used this phrase before. Always remember this. you, the one whom your fears are afraid of, loves you. The one whom your fears are afraid of loves you. What are you afraid of right now? What is pressing on you? Well, you know what it is because you can't stop thinking about it. It's what pops into your mind. What are you afraid of? Know this, that however terrible and frightening that thing is, one day it will face the Lord Jesus and it will collapse in fear. And it is that Lord Jesus who loves you. The one your fears are afraid of loves you. So when we look to the cross, we don't just hear the Father saying to us, that is how extravagantly I love you. I gave you my son. We don't just hear the Father say, this is how mercifully I love you. He paid the price for everything you've done wrong and everything you will do wrong. But he also says, this is how relentlessly I love you. I will not stop. Nothing will stop God pursuing his love for you. So that is why you know that in all these things, you are more than a conqueror. If you are a follower of Jesus, it doesn't matter if those around you think you are a loser. It doesn't matter if you think you're a loser. The truth is that you are more than a conqueror. Because the outcome of your life has already been written by the author of life, God. And he will even turn your failures into his victories. There is only one type of conqueror that doesn't end up a loser. That is the more than conqueror. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're that type of conqueror. So I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know whether you're facing, you feel like you're going to lose against sickness. Don't you hate it when people say, oh, I beat cancer? I think it's an awful thing to say, by the way. You think, I'm going to lose against the sickness. Or I'm in a job situation, I'm going to lose against the threat of losing my job. I'm going to lose against this person who's abusing their power in my workplace. Or maybe it's the hidden shame that you are trying to lock up and hide away because you fear that when it comes out, you will turn out to be the biggest loser of all as what you pretended to be comes crashing down around you. Or maybe you're facing an individual who is cheating and lying and bullying. Or maybe simply time is running out on your dreams of what you thought you would achieve. And you are feeling like a loser. And maybe it's keeping you up at night. Well, can I suggest you take away this verse? If you haven't got our Mighty Meditations, I think there's still some available at the back. Take it away and stick it up somewhere. You're going to see it. And say, and make it personal. Don't just learn it as a memory verse, although do learn it as a memory verse, but make it personal. Say, in this situation, Lord, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. Because of your cross, in this situation, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loved me. And then remember, you will not end up a loser. You win. So do not be afraid. Even if it turns out you do lose the job, even if it turns out you don't survive the sickness, even if it turns out the shameful thing is disclosed, you are more than a conqueror. The final verdict will be you won because of Jesus. Let's just spend a moment to a quiet. And I wonder if you'd be happy to just put into your mind and hold it before the Lord the thing you're afraid of, the thing you think will mean you lose. Be really honest, nobody else is going to hear this. You've been hiding this fear from everyone else. You've been trying to appear strong. But before your Father, you don't need to do that. Father, I pray that you will take those words printed on a page of your word and with them you would ignite our hearts and our hopes and you would burn up our fears. Lord, that we would know that in everything we are more than conquerors through you who loved us. Amen.